Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. It's exciting. We get to finish a book here. Took us like a month and a half to finish 1 Peter. Just 3 days for 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at the time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with the roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the element will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, and they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. So Peter is closing off 2 Peter 3 here, and he's basically tells him right from the beginning, this second letter I'm writing to you, this is why I'm writing to you, basically. You should remember the words spoken by the prophets. And so he's dealing with twofold things, okay? We talked about it yesterday. The first part, he's dealing with people that are really having an issue, basically. Issue is probably too light of a word, that are creating a huge disturbance in the church because they're bringing false teaching. And now he's dealing with another group of people that have very a lax view of his coming, of the second coming, what we call, you may be familiar with a few of these terms. Have you ever heard the word parousia? That's kind of the scholarly way of saying the second coming of the Lord. And so he's talking to them and says, hey, you need to live in this hope. Remember, that was really the theme of 1 Peter. You need to live in this hope, but the hope is of his coming. Of his coming to the earth, and when Christ comes again, everything will be new. And so you're going through suffering, all these things are happening. When Jesus comes, it's going to be the fullness of all things. And so even when we think in the context of today, it's important for us to recognize that the answer to our world is not the UN. The answer to our world is not necessarily world peace. The answer to our world is not, you know, more law enforcement or bigger government or smaller government or, you know, I mean, whatever political stance that you take. The cure for our world is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, he makes all things new. And I think it's all these things, I mean, they're okay things, but they're all man's attempt for us to find this place of peace that only comes from God. And it's interesting enough, do you guys know the universal peace symbol? You know, the circle with the... it's basically, it's a cross that's upside down and it's broken. And it's actually an old Hindu symbol. It comes from the false religion, actually. And it was a symbol, very, very anti-God, very anti-Christian. And what the symbol, I mean, it's talking about peace in these things, but what the symbol is really saying is, God, we don't need you. We can actually have, we can make peace ourselves. And so thus, if you look at the symbol, and it usually has a lot of flowers and stuff, whenever, I know this is important to me, because whenever I pick out clothes for our kids, or my wife and I, we pick out clothes for our kids, and this symbol is everywhere. And so whenever we find it, even though we may like the clothes, we just won't buy it, because we don't want anything associated with this kind of ungodliness. And then whenever I see people at church wearing that symbol, I always make it a point to tell them what it's about. And sure enough, they usually throw it away. So if you have stuff in your closet that has that universal, you know, peace symbol, it's basically an upside down cross that's broken, and it's an old cultic symbol, and it just basically talks about, God, we don't really need you. We're going to do peace ourselves. And so but that's really the spirit of this age. You know, God, we don't really need you. We can do it ourselves. We don't need you. We have the UN. You know, we have all these institutions, and obviously it's not working still. And the key to all this is the coming of the Lord. That's the hope that we put ourselves in. And then there's a couple of really interesting statements that he makes here. One, he says, do not let this fact, verse 8, do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Wow. What a profound statement. I mean, you talk about, in our life right now, the whole issue of time. You know, for us, we have an idea of chronos, which is one of the Greek words for time. Today is June 1, so happy June. We officially hit summer now, and that's Kronos. You know, God, he doesn't really operate in that. He operates in what was called Kairos, which is talking about this appointed time. And so he's got a whole other scale by which he operates out of. I mean, for one side, it could be a little frustrating because, you know, we want it in our time. But God is beyond that. And so we need to kind of, in essence, get on his page and get on his time in related to a lot of different matters. And then, but what we want to focus on is verse 9. Very, very profound verse. It says here, and he basically does a couple of things. He talks about why there's a, not necessarily delay, but why he's tarrying, why he's not coming. He said, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So, Lord, the world is so messed up right now. Why don't you just come? You know, it's so many things happening. You know, we were in the Middle East and talking about the whole political things that are going on. It's crazy. Lord, what's going on? You know why the Lord tarries? It's because he wants people's souls. There's still people that are yet to know him. There's still people that have yet to hear the gospel. There's still people that have yet to understand the love of God over their life. And so he waits, because his heart is that all would come to repentance. So let's talk about repentance for a little bit. Let me tell you, this is what repentance is not. Repentance is not sorrow. Okay? Being sorrowful, that's not repentance. The Bible tells us that sorrow, that godly sorrow, leads us to repentance. So then we know that sorrow is not repentance. So you could be broken up about something you did. You can just be so sad and feel so guilty and all these things. That's not repentance. I think it that kind of godly sorrow may lead to repentance, but that's not repentance. If you're looking for the verses, 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 10. Right, godly sorrow, this guilty feeling that leads to repentance, but it's not repentance. Penance is also not repentance. Right, penance is an act of the guilty party to render payment for sin. So you did something. Let's say you stole from your company. Penance is giving that money back. Okay, it's now an act that you do. So the sorrow is a feeling that you have, but that's not repentance. Penance is an act that you do, but that's not repentance either. Right? You'll notice in the scriptures, Paul, Jesus, the gospels, it doesn't say do penance and your sins will be forgiven. No, he says repent and your sins will be forgiven. So it's not penance. It's also not reformation. Reformation is a change brought about by the efforts of man for self-glory. And so it's not sorrow, it's not penance, it's not reformation. The Bible tells us in Acts, it says, God is now declaring to man that all everywhere should repent. Right? Reformation, like I said, is a change of heart. It's a turning away from known sin or giving up a bad habit or trying to overhaul the old nature. In other words, this is man's attempt to do all these things. Okay? So it's not sorrow, it's not penance, it's not reformation. What is repentance then? Repentance, the word, right, is talking about change. This is what it is. Change, but it's always evidenced in three different elements. There is an intellectual element, there is an emotional element, and there is a volitional element. In other words, you're dealing with a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of our will. This is what repentance is. Repentance is changing our mind about a situation. You're intellectually convinced. It's a changing of our heart, changing of our emotions in that regard, and also a changing of the will. It's volitional. And so, I'll give you an example. Probably the best example in the scriptures is really the prodigal son. And so in the prodigal son, we see, it's Luke 15, we see the intellectual element. Text says he came to his senses. He realized that his father's workers are eating more than he is. So he has an intellectual engagement, and he finally, something snaps, he comes to his senses. So he's on the road to repentance. The next part, he says, he comes to his emotional element, his heart. He turns to his father and he says, I'm going to say to my father, Father, I have sinned. There's a heart element, an emotional appeal that stirs up in his heart. And then there's a volitional element, or we could say the action of his will. And then he says, I will go up and I'll go to my father. And so there's a turning that's happening there. That's what repentance is. It's a change. I talked about sorrow. It has elements of those things, but it's a little deeper than that. It's intellectual, it's emotional, it's volitional. I always think change of mind, change of heart, and change of will. And so action, so reformation happens, but the reformation itself is not repentance. You guys understand? Repentance operates out of these three things. When these things happen, that's when you have repentance. There's elements of sorrow, there's elements, but sorrow itself is not repentance. Just because you feel bad about something, that's not enough. That's just the beginning. That could be the stirring of an emotion or intellectual element, but that's not enough. It's there's more that's encompassed here. When you have intellectual engagement, when you have, a change of mind, you have an emotional engagement, a change of heart, and then you have a volitional engagement, a change of the will, that's when you have repentance. Not one and not another and another. It's actually when these three things come together, that's repentance. That's when you say, wow, we have really, really repented. It's not just, oh, I feel bad about it. Okay, that could start that in our mind, a change of mind, but it also moves and it changes our heart. And there's a confession there. There's a moving of our heart in that way. I've sinned. There's a knowledge of this, and then the volitional element that you make restitution. You make it right in some way. When all three of those things are put together, that's when there's repentance. Do you guys understand? I think it's a really important point that we should really be aware of. It's not just one of the three or even two of the three. It's when all three elements work together and they all flow together, thus evidenced by the prodigal son. When all these three things come together, that's when you have true repentance. And that's when really life begins to begin in our lives. And so, right, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. For all not to feel sorry about their sins. That's just the beginning. Right? Not just make reformation and restitution. That's the end of it all. But to have these elements all working together, and that's when true repentance happens in our life. And when you have repentance, you have everything. Right? Really, when you have repentance, you have everything. How important is it for repentance? I mean, think about how crap this world is right now. You know how important it is? God is waiting until all come to repentance. That's how important it is. It's not just some kind of idea that he has, you know, some kind of criteria that he puts out together. I mean, it's a really important aspect, really important that we all come to repentance, and out of that place, right, is life, it's everything. And then he continues on, he talks about the new heaven and the new earth, and he says in verse 14, therefore, so notice in the first part, he says, firstly, and then he goes to this aspect, and so he's concluding now, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Just as our beloved brother, Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. Don't you like the way that Peter's writing this? In verse 9, he says, because he's telling us, look, the Lord is not slow about his promises. All right, so there's not a delay. And then he changes the wording a little bit more, and then he talks about his waiting to be his patience toward us, which is totally correct. It's not that God is slow about his promises. It's not that God is delaying or he's withholding. It's a different way. He's saying, man, the Lord is being so patient with us in this regard. So he says, in regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Continue on, verse 17. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. All right, so be alert, be aware, understand what's going on. Because there's a lot of unprincipled men, there's a lot of false teachers out there that's going to lead you astray and get you out of your own steadfastness. And this is his charge to end this. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. This is something that we should be doing every single day. We should be growing. You should be growing in God's word. You should be growing in prayer. You should be growing in love. You should be growing in patience. Right? All living things grow. Right? This is a fact of life. All living things grow. If you're not growing in these areas of your lives, especially in regard to our faith, you might be dead. Those aspects, there might be some death in your life. All living things grow. They may not grow so fast or whatnot. And really, the best way to grow is just very steadily. But all living things grow. And this is his charge, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let this be a natural function of our repenting, a natural function of us being with the Lord. We're going to grow. We're going to be changed by his glory. And this is his promise to us and a charge. Just grow in his grace and in his knowledge. That's something that we can do. We have a part in. So let's close our eyes today. Since I spent quite a bit of time talking about repentance, I think that's what we should do this morning. Is there anything in your life right now, and I'm going to ask Holy Spirit to put that flashlight all over our heart and our mind. Is there anything that you're sorrowful about that maybe you have done or thought about or coveted in your heart. Remember, sorrow is not enough. Is there anything that you've even made some kind of penance about? All right, that's not enough. Or anything that you've made some kind of reformation or some kind of restitution, that's not enough. It's all three elements. It's an intellectual element, a change of mind. It's an emotional element, change of heart. And it's a volitional element, a change of the will. It's a turning around. It's a change that happens. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you about repentance. And let all three of those elements kind of wrap our heart and our mind and our will right now. That maybe after you pray today, you need to go do something. Because you have the intellectual and you have the emotional, but you never really did the volitional. Or maybe you just did the volitional. You had the intellectual that you did wrong, that's why you went to the volitional. But you never had that change of heart. Maybe you just did it purely out of obedience. You need to change your heart. As Jackie leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that and ask Holy Spirit to speak to us.
The world forever reigns. to your arms. I'm running to your arms. Riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever.
Let's pray this morning. Let's ask God for our own lives of repentance. But let's pray also for the world around us that there would be repentance. And let's pray Holy Spirit would lead all men, just like the text said, all men to come to repentance. There's so many people that need to hear around us. Pray they would come to that place of repentance, of drawing near to God. That in some way, maybe you're praying for people, praying for your boss, for your colleagues, or family members. Let's pray that they would experience, encounter God in their life, and it would lead them to repentance. Have an Isaiah 6 moment. Woe is me, for a man of unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips. But my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. Let's just pray right now. Pray for ourselves, pray for our church. For repentant hearts. Pray for the world around us for repentant hearts. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with cancer and other aspects of that cancer, and chemo and whatnot. And let's just ask God's healing word and His comfort and His grace to overwhelm the individual, but also the family around, a strong support system of faith and a prayer. Let's just lift up our friends. Let's pray for our community that are sick, but also that need to know Jesus, that they need to come to repentance, that there'll be a recognition intellectually, emotionally, and volitionally that would come to Jesus. Let's pray for them on that behalf. Let's pray for others in our community that are saved, but going through pain and illnesses. Let's ask God's healing word to come over their life. pray for our friends that are looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision in their life. Even without a job, that God will still continue to provide for them. Let's pray for open doors. Let's pray for good interviews. Pray that God will just opportunities will continue to abound. And then for wisdom, and just making sure they select the right job that God wants for them. So just pray for our friends. Let's go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for two countries. Let's pray for Indonesia, pray for Febe Ministry, pray for Pastor Salamat and all the members of the church. Pray for all the programs and things that they plan and do. Let's also pray for our friends in Kupang and our mission trip that's going there again this summer. Let's ask God's hand to be upon this country, the most populous Muslim country in the world. Let's pray for effective outreach. Let's also pray for Singapore. Pray for our new church plant there. God's hand will be upon them. And as they continue to draw close to each other and really hear from God. And so let's just really lift these countries up and ask for the Spirit of God to brood over these places and our friends. Let's pray for our education ministries. Pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and the college group. Pray for all the pastors leading, and pray for all the volunteers and the students that are coming out. That Holy Spirit would really just lead them and teach them and guide them during this time. Let's pray especially for our kids that we would teach them in such a way that when it's their turn to accept Christ, it would become a very easy decision for them. Let's just ask God to really bless. Let's pray for our families and our marriages. Let's pray for just incredible love, husband and wife, healing if there's been any brokenness there. Pray for unity, restoration, protection. Cover all the families, especially cover the marriages. You know, for both husband and wife, they realize their first priority is to one another before work or before kids or before anything else. Let's pray for, in that way, a repentance, a change of mind, a change of heart, and then volitional change. And so let's just lift up the families and marriages. Let's pray for house churches that are meeting today. Pray for Bel Air, McDaddy, and Robinson family. Pray for the leaders. Pray for real fruitful discussions. Pray for spirit-led worship and time of ministry and work amongst one another. And let's ask God to just really honor the time today. Let's cover our weekend before the Lord. Pray for our two services tomorrow. There's going to be testimonies. We're starting a new series on the city. Pray for our worship times, for hospitality, the welcoming barista tomorrow, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, outreaches going on this weekend. Pray for all the meetings. We have a board meeting on Sunday night. There's missions training, prayer meetings, other different kind of prayer meetings going throughout. Also, let's lift up our upcoming men's and women's ministries that everyone would sign up, and we just have just an incredible time in the presence of the Lord. And so just lift up our weekend before God and ask His hand to lead us and guide us, and that we really receive that mercy. Let's pray. And lastly, this weekend is the World Weekend of Prayer for Children at Risk. And so let's lift up a prayer as people are all over the world for children who are at risk, either domestic abuse or risk, meaning that they're in slavery of some sort. And let's just really ask God to protect these kids and to bring them out of bondage and bring them out of very harmful situations, that the people of God would care for them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for 2 Peter, God, and the message, Lord, to repent. The message, God, just about your patience toward us, God, that you wait for every person to come to repentance. And so we pray, God, that we would be, Lord, used by you to lead people, Lord, into your heart, God, into righteousness, Lord. And so we give ourselves to you this weekend, Father. Lord, come and have your way with us, God. Lord, as we seek to bless you and bless others around us, Lord, we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great time of prayer, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Shabbat.